We are recording, and good morning, gentlemen. It's so good to be back together, and what it's not exactly the same, but it's been a while since I had a chance to learn with you because I think the way our rotation worked, I was like the first of this Tkufa before we were really set up for it. So David and I had a very nice Clarusa, but now we're really all together. We can learn together, which is exciting for me. And what we're gonna do today is really gonna we're exploring an idea. We're going to explore the concept of makom, of place. And so, obviously, to some extent, this was influenced by our very intensity in one place that we're experiencing right now. But also, I think that it's pervasive throughout Parshas Acharei, and I think that it's a sign of maturity within myself that when I have the options of talking about Acharei or Kedoshim, which has like so many of the more popular, more common, more modern sensibility mitzvos. The fact that I'm focusing on Acharei Mos, I think, just means I've matured a lot. So yay me. But I think that if you look at Acharei Mos, this concept of makom permeates the entire thing from the beginning with Nadav and Avihu, and how they died because they went into a very specific makom, because they went into the Kodesh Kodashim, and then Aharon HaKohen is actually told, don't go into this one place. And then Yom HaKippurim's Avodah is really all about the makom. It's about doing this and doing that, all focused very much on a physical place. Then we learn halakha about how you're not supposed to bring karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Mishkan's Mizbeach. And then we learn about arayos, and then we conclude with that the end result of arayos is going to be that Bnei Yisrael will be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael should they violate it. It seems to be a very, very big focus on makom. And so I've been thinking about makom, and what I'm hoping we can do today is to really explore that idea through Chazal, through Machshava of Torah. The Maharal is going to help us out a lot. And any thoughts that you have, I really welcome them. This is a work in progress. I think that it's a presentable work in progress, but a work in progress nonetheless. As I was telling David, I sent him a story sheet last night, and then I was thinking about it more, and it developed a little bit more, and so we sent an updated story sheet this morning. And so what you have, I believe, is the most current version, but it could change, it could develop. So God willing, we'll learn about this together. And so without further ado, let's jump in. And to start, rather than looking at our parsha, we're going to look at a Gemara, or a Mishnah, that the Kol learned this year in Maseches Yoma, although it's more popularly found in Avos, in the fifth parak, Mishnah Hey. In this time of miracles, we're still in the week of Yom HaTzimut, Yom HaZikaron, but Yom HaTzimut and the miracle that is the establishment of the State of Israel. And so I thought most appropriate that we should talk about miracles as well. And so here, we can get rid of this. And our conversation starts out with this Gemara, the 10 miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Asar nisim nasu lavaseinu Beis HaMikdash. These 10 miracles were: Lo hipila isha me'reach basar kodesh. Woman never miscarried because of the smell of all of the meat. Lo hisriach basar kodesh mi'olam, and it never went bad. It never spoiled. V'lo nira zavuv Beis HaMitzvachim, and you never saw a fly. Flowering bugs were in the slaughterhouse. V'lo ira keri the kohen gadol b'yom kippurim, and the kohen gadol never had an inappropriate seminal emission on Yom Kippur. So, truth be told, that miracle is like a kind of a funny one because they kept the kohen gadol up all night on Yom Kippur so that wouldn't happen. So, like, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's a miracle that we've been putting a lot of effort into. But perhaps that's an indication, a suggestion that sometimes we have to create our own miracles. But ein kan makom l'harech. And continuing in the fifth, ve'ein kabo gashamim eish shalatzeh hamaracha, and fire never put out the pillar of smoke going up from the Mizbeach. There was a pillar of smoke that reached up to the heavens, and it was always going up. It never moved. The wind never pushed it aside. That's actually how the Gemara got to this place. And the rain never put it out. It could be raining, and even so, the fire is still burning. The smoke is still going. Ve'lo nitzasa haruach esamun ashan, and never moved. V'lo nimsa psul ba'omer v'shtay lachem v'lechem apanim. You never, and none of these karbanos, none of these offerings ever went bad. They would stand and they would be very, very narrow, they next to each other and close together. But when it came time to bow, they were able to bow with Revrach, Alpi, Shalom Bayis, and Drush. If you're willing to be Mishtakava in a relationship, then you'll create a Revrach. If you're willing to bend and not have things always go the way that you imagine they should, then you'll really see Revrach in your relationship. As a word I heard, I think, earlier this week from Rabbi Daniel Cantor. We never saw a snake or a scorpion ever attacked anyone in Yerushalayim. And now we get to the 10th on our list that we're going to focus on. And this one, I think, is kind of funny. Because until now, we've been talking about things that seem to be outside of our ability. Now, yeah, like, we might play a part a little bit, but if meat's going to go bad or not go bad, that seems to be something that's within the realm of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It exists in the natural world, but it's still something that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is controlling. Whether the Kohen Gadol does or does not have Balkari the night of Yom Kippur, we might do our best to avoid it, but ultimately, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who's going to control that. And yet, this last one doesn't seem to fit in, because this last one is, in bold, number 10 on our list, V'lo amar adam l'chaveir tzar li hamakom sh'alim b'yushalayim. No one ever said to his friend, I didn't have anywhere to stay last night. Nebuch, the citadel was full, and the imbal was full, and the King David was full. I couldn't even get a spot in the Sheraton. None of it. Like, that's one of the miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara actually says, well, if we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, these last two are actually Yerushalayim. That's not our question for now. Why is that one of our miracles? That seems to be a funny miracle, both in the context of, like, okay, great, everyone had somewhere to stay. Baruch Hashem, that they built the Waldorf, 10 years ago, and now there's more hotel rooms in Yerushalayim. But also, it's like a Ben Adam L'Chaveiro miracle. It's not necessarily, doesn't feel like the same level of miracle as the rest of them. So our first question that we're going to try to understand is, why is this one of our miracles? Why is Lo Amar Adam L'Chaveiro Tzar Li Hamakom one of our miracles? Now moving into our parsha, because in our parsha, as we mentioned, there's a halakha that we're very familiar with, that you're not allowed to bring what we call shchutei chutz. You're not allowed to bring karbonos outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We actually don't even need to read these psukim inside, because you can read them and appreciate them. But the halakha has also come up in Dvarim. But this is the first source that we have of this concept that karbonot are only supposed to be offered within the temple, within the Beis HaMikdash, or the Mishkan, on the Mizbeach. When there's no Mishkan, or there's no Beis HaMikdash, then there's a little bit of wiggle room. But fundamentally, traditionally, when all things are considered, when all things are equal, there are no karbanos to be offered. No karbanos should be brought unless you're in one place. I can't bring karbanos in my own backyard. And so the question we need to appreciate is why. Why are we not supposed to be bringing karbanos outside? If Mike, you gotta come prepare with the coffee. Come on. Why are we not supposed to bring karbanos outside? Because I don't know what it was like when you were growing up. But when I was growing up, there was a beferish chazal that everyone knew. That was spread by Uncle Moishi. Hashem is here. Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. And so if a Kodesh Baruch Hu really is everywhere, then why do we have this exclusion of Karbanos? Why am I not allowed to worship a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the form of Karbanos, which admittedly today we don't do? But if Karbanos was a form of connection to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is a shir for another time, then why can't I perform this connection? Why can't I create this connection with a Kodesh Baruch Hu outside the Beis HaMikdash? Why is the Beis HaMikdash exclusive? Why is there this idea, this concept of Shkutei Chutz? And finally, our question is in regards to Eretz Yisrael overall. We spent early this week speaking a lot, learning a lot, appreciating a lot the fact that we have Eretz Yisrael in our possession today, that we're able to go there, able to appreciate it. And if we look at our parsha, it seems to be explicit why we lost it, how we can ensure that we can maintain it, because at the end of Parsha Zachary Mos, and this actually comes up in Kedoshim as well, which seemingly is why the Haftorah and Amos explains the Rav. The Haftorah and Amos is all about the rebuilding of Eretz Yisrael. The Haftorah of Amos is actually, I think, kind of funny because usually when you have a double parsha, when you have Akrei Mosin Kedoshim, if you have Matos Maaseh, if you have Baruch Hu Kosai, you usually read the latter's Haftorah. You don't read, you wouldn't read Bahar's Haftorah. You wouldn't read Akrei Mosin's Haftorah. You would read for Kedoshim. And yet, when we have Akrei Mosin Kedoshim together, the Akrei Mosin Haftorah takes priority. Now, why? This is a little bit tangential, but it's important and worthwhile to know, especially because we're not in shul this week and we might not necessarily recognize. Why do we need to read Akrei Mosin's Haftorah this week instead of Kedoshim? Because the Akrei Mosin's Haftorah is from Amos, and it's only 9 psukim. And if you have a Haftorah with only 9 psukim, you cannot possibly let that pass.
Okay.
Okay. If you read it, it feels like it was written as the Haftorah for Yom HaTzmut. It's beautiful. It's about how Eretz Yisrael will be built up. It's about how we'll get kicked out, but it's how we'll return and it'll be built up, and there'll be cities and skyscrapers growing, and we literally see it happening before our eyes. The Haftorah that we're going to read the Shabbos seems to be like a nevuah that's coming true right in front of us. But within that context, within the that realm of Eretz Yisrael being a place that's going to be built up when we're back, why do we get kicked out in the first place? Our psukim tell us, and this is after all of the arayos. Psukim in Vayikra, Yud Ches Chav Dalad, although really it's Chav Hei is the one we're focusing on. Why was Bnei Yisrael kicked out of the Eretz Yisrael? Because they acted like the other nations, because they acted immorally, because they sinned, and so the lashon that the Kadosh Baruch Hu the psukim use is in Chav Hei on source 3. Matitzmaha aretz vafkoda vona aleha. And you know, the land will become tame, and the sin that exists within that land is going to impact it, and the land is going to vomit out its inhabitants. It's going to vomit out Bnei Yisrael. If we sin, then we will be kicked out of Bnei Yisrael. Now, I can appreciate that, you know, sin leads to bad things. You know, the Rav Soloveitchik says that it's not a punishment. It's the lashon he uses, it's a consequence. I first heard this term in DRS high school in the Five Towns. I'm sure it exists in a lot of other schools, but it was the first time I was exposed to it. That I don't remember who the dean of students was, but whoever was in charge of punishments wanted to change the law show. And when students misbehave, when we mess up in some way, shape, or form, whether it's in school, whether it's at work, whether it's in our personal lives, or whether it's in the context of our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, we're not punished per se. Not all the time. That a lot of times it's not a punishment; it's a consequence. If you do this, then the result will be this. And so, anytime that students in DRS were going to misbehave, then there will be consequences. What's the proper consequence to this misbehavior? And so, the consequence to sinning in Eretz Yisrael is v'taki ha'aretz es yoshveha, that the land will vomit you out. Bnei Yisrael will be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. But why is that why does that make sense? Why is that, does that correlate? If I live in Chicago, and Rachman Alatan, God forbid I end up sinning, I stop going to Minyan for like a month and a half, something crazy like that. Who can imagine? I'm not getting kicked out. There is this idea that Shinar Makom, Shinar Mazel, and Shinar Makom was a form of tshuva, which maybe is something that we're going to be able to appreciate more as we go. But why am I getting kicked out of Eretz Yisrael because of it? Why is that the necessary consequence? Because we're not talking about punishment. It's not that God's like, well, let's think about all the ways that I can torture the Jews and make things hard. Making them move would be super annoying. That's a good way to prevent them from sinning. So I had experience in camps over many years, over a lot of my maturity. In my earlier years, when I was less mature, when I had campers misbehave, I almost wanted to punish them. I remember explicitly, like, I was trying to think, like, what's this really going to bother this kid? And I wanted to punish him. But that's not what Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing. He's not punishing us. It's a consequence. So how does A translate into B? How is Bnei Yisrael sinning maybe in Minyan, maybe in Kashrus, maybe in Taras HaMishpacha, seemingly Taras HaMishpacha, that if we're going to connect it to the previous sugiv, how does sinning with Arayos result in getting kicked out of the land of Israel? And so that's our third question. Just to recap, our three questions that we're trying to appreciate and understand today, all in the context of appreciating the Kedushas HaMakom and what Makom means, is why the 10 miracles that took place in, on a frequent basis, on a constant basis, had been in the base of Mikdash, was one of them that no one ever complained to his friend that, oh, I had nowhere to stay last night. Sarli hamakum she'alin biYerushalayim. Second question is, why is there an Isser of Shkutei Chutz? Seemingly, if a Kodesh Baruch Hu is Melakol Haaretz Bikvoda, Kodesh Baruch Hu is everywhere, why are we only allowed to bring Karbonos in one spot, just in the Beis HaMikdash? And in Eretz Yisrael, sort of a big adol, why are we getting kicked out of Eretz Yisrael because we sin? It's not like we're sinning specifically in Shemitah. If the Pesukim were saying, you didn't follow Shemitah, you didn't work the land properly, so you're not allowed to be here anymore. That's an understandable consequence. Seemingly, sinning with Arayos, so sinning with some other capacity, why is that going to result in me getting kicked out of Eretz Yisrael? Now, we're going to explore an answer. I just want to point out that there's one potential answer to our first question of why it was so miraculous that no one ever complained. For you to have all the Jewish people coming to the Beis HaMikdash every year and no one complaining, maybe, that's a miracle in and of itself. To not have anyone complaining is miraculous. But I think that there's a little bit more here. And so I think it really starts with an experience I had a number of years ago. When I first started in Yeshiva University, we can unshare our screen for a moment so I can look at you. When I first started Yeshiva University, I was, and I've seen this with a number of freshbacks, kids who had spent a year or two in Eretz Yisrael, and now they're in YU, and YU or other yeshivos, it's a wonderful place. YU, really, there's so much Torah there. The quality of the Talmud Torah that exists in YU was at a much higher level than what I was getting when I was in Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh. But there's so much more to being Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh than just the quality of the chakiras that we're making in Shir. And I needed to be back in Eretz Yisrael. I needed it. One of the big indications that someone's sort of grown out of that stage is when they don't feel like they need to be back, or they need to be back with their repayim from yeshiva. It's part of the growth, and I think it's necessary. But the fact that I no longer feel like I'm lacking because I'm not in Eretz Yisrael, I don't think I like so much. Until I arrived in the Kollel, I was zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael basically every year, thanks to various OU summer programs. And so this is gonna be my first year in 10 years not being in Israel. But in Mitzvah Shem, we'll all be able to go back very soon. But I'll just point out Derek Agav, Rav Chizkiya Nebensal, who's the current chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. His father, Rav Avigdor Nebensal, is also the chief rabbi, but somehow they both are. Rav Chizkiya is Rav Nebensal's youngest son. Rav Chizkiya knows Kol Torah Kula. He goes through Shas Mishnayos on a monthly basis. And thank God I'm Zocha to really have a relationship with him. Spent a lot of time in his house on Erev Shabbosos and on Shabbos. And he told me when I was leaving, he says, don't leave Eretz Yisrael. I was like, Rebbe, I got a plane ticket, I got school, I can't leave. He goes, Chazal tell us that if you're in a base medj, it's as if you're in Eretz Yisrael. So you might be sleeping in Chutz La'aretz, but don't leave Eretz Yisrael. Make sure to stay in the base medj as much as you can. So I said, okay. And something that I've kept in mind that, as much as I actually like learning at home, being in a base medrash is like being in Eretz Yisrael, and I try to maintain that. Now, the base medrash that I have is right here. I'm not going anywhere. And so, seemingly, even when I'm just hanging out in my apartment, I'm still in my own base medrash, so I still have a din, according to Rav Chizkiya, of being in Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, back to our story. In order to get to Israel, the cheapest way for me to do it was to join a program that YU was offering called Counterpoint. Now, Counterpoint's been around for a long time, but Counterpoint, the way it exists today, is that YU students will go to communities in the south of Israel and work with at-risk Israeli kids and run a camp, run things in the school, and give them more confidence, give them more ability, help them out with their English, because apparently that's a source of pride for young Israelis to be able to speak English. It also helps them educationally going forward. If you can speak English, you end up doing better on your Bagrut exams. Cool. And so I was going to go on this Counterpoint program, because in order to get back to Eretz Yisrael, I would have a weekend off. I could do whatever I wanted. I went to visit my yeshiva in Netiv Aryeh, and then we spent a week and a half in Kiryat Malachi, in the south of Israel. And during the time there were we had sort of our own like house, we had our own minion, and it was a bunch of Wayuu guys and one Israeli guy who was like sort of running the show, making sure everything was organized. And we had a Machlokas because the Wayuu guys, like you know most of the Rebbeim, felt that the priority when you daven is to daven in the direction of the shul. If the shuls are in Kodesh, as we might be familiar with in Chicago, because many of the shuls that I daven in are not facing east. If the Aron Kodesh is facing north, then you face north, even though you know Yerushalayim is east, and we'll just share for a moment. We know that there's a halakha that comes out in Brachos on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, that if you're standing in Chutz La'aretz, you should daven toward Eretz Yisrael. If you're standing in Eretz Yisrael, you should daven toward Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, daven toward the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, v'chule. And so this halakha came out. I mean, this is a machlokas that exists amongst the poskim. Are you supposed to be prioritizing facing really the Beis HaMikdash, or do you prioritize facing where the Aron Kodesh is? And so if you go into Kins, you go into Esrei Israel, you go into a few other shuls in the area, they'll prioritize facing the direction, so Kins faces north, but there's a real halakhic opinion that you're supposed to face east. And this came out as a halakha l'maisa Shiloh because the shul we were in was not facing north. And we were in the south of Israel, we should have been facing north toward Yerushalayim. And so I was like young, I didn't care that much. Like I just dove in the direction that everyone else was davening, I didn't bother. So, but there was really a machlokas going on between this Israeli guy who was with us and like a lot of the Wayuu guys. And so one day we daven mincha and he stopped us and he's like, I just want to share something. And I don't remember his name, but this had a deep impact on me. I just remember that he's from Yeshivat Otniel. And he said that maybe if you live in Chutz La'aretz, then your experience with davening is that, oh, you daven east. You sort of daven in the direction that the shul is. But when you live in Eretz Yisrael, there's a concept that Yiddishkeit is not just something that exists in the theoretical, in the intangible. But Yiddishkeit is something that's tangible. There's mamash, a place that I focus on. There's a place that I go in order to connect to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And I don't know if he like rehearsed it beforehand, but something about what he said resonated very deeply with me. That I think for me growing up, I think for probably a lot of people, we have this idea that Eretz Yisrael is holy, that Israel is a special place. But when I think about connecting to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, do I think about the significance of a place? Is there one place that is more significant? Maybe when we go to Yerushalayim, when we go to visit the Kotel, we feel that connection. But do I really think that there's a place that I'm supposed to be focusing on? When I daven, I don't think about the fact that I'm facing Yerushalayim, but seemingly I should. So he ended up losing the machlokas, so we still davened in the same direction because we called someone who's in charge of the program, Hipaskin, and Zehu. But the notion that a place matters, that makom has great significance, which is something that I think people in Eretz Yisrael are more attuned to because they're living in a makom. It's something that I was not yet familiar with, and that sort of opened this exploration of makom for me, and it's what I've been thinking about a lot in the past couple weeks. And I think the Maharal, on page 3, in the top source, really hits this well. He really explains this, and explains what's going on here. We're going to see a few pieces from the Maharal in this context and about this. But in Netzach Yisrael, he talks about Makom. Now, in Netzach Yisrael, we've discussed a few times. I think generally we know, but you know, for the sake of it and for the recording. The Maharal in Yerod Sfarim about most of the Moadim in addition to other things. And so his Sefer Netzach Yisrael is all about Galus and Geula. It was a Sefer written in and around Tisha B'Av. So God willing, it should just be Lidrosh L'Kabel Schar and not L'Maisa. But the Netzach Yisrael talks about Galus. And so in the context of Galus, he's explaining why Makom matters so much. So let's look inside on top of source of page 3, source 5. וכל הדברים בעולם שאינם עומדים במקום הטבעי להם, והם יוצאים מן המקום המיוחד לכל אחד, הוא שינוי ודבר זה הוא הפסד נחשב. When you're not, everyone has a place that they're standing in, that natural makom that they have, and if you're not, then it's a change-up, it doesn't fit perfectly, that's actually a very significant loss. And he explains further. כי המקום הוא קיום על אשר הוא מקום אליו. Because a place is actually the part of what sustains a person. And he, and how do we know that? Kasher meyid, it's actually obvious. Kasher meyid alav milas makom shehum lashon kiyum. The language makayim, to sustain, to last, and the lashon makom are basically one and the same. It's almost all the same letters. And so, in order to last, if kiyum is dependent on something, it's dependent upon makom. It's dependent upon being in your place. Vahayetziya min hamakom, and leaving that makom, shehu kiyuma, which is how you sustain, hu avud el asher makom elav. You've lost your place. Galus is not just a displacement, or an inconvenience, that now you need to find a new dry cleaner, now you need to find a new dentist. I just got a new eye doctor recently, and it's kvaldik, but it took me a year and a half to find it. Being displaced is challenging. That's what Ashur was doing when they exiled all the people all around. But maybe they realized, maybe they didn't, that if you no longer have your makom, you no longer have your place, then there's something that's almost like lacking within you. Yeah, there's a disconnect to who you are. And the Maharal explains further based on this mission in Pirkei Avos that we're going to learn next week, I believe. Because Ben Zoma says, after telling us, you know, how to be wise and how to be rich and how to be strong, he tells us in the third Mishnah in that parak, Kuhay Omer, Altihi Vazal Kol Adam, Vialti Mafli Kol Davar. You know, don't be rude, and don't be obnoxious, and don't discriminate against anything. She'en laka Adam, she'en lo Shah, ve'en laka Davar, she'en lo Makom. Because you never know. Every person has their moment, every thing has its place. And so the mashal that actually a lot of mefarshim explain on this is like the classic mashal with the lion and the mouse. You know, the lion is this big strong animal and so powerful, and maybe doesn't necessarily care, isn't necessarily makshiv, the tiny little mouse. But when he gets a thorn stuck in his paw and he can't take it out because he's got big paws, he doesn't have the opposable thumbs or ability to take a thorn out. He needs the mouse, and so at any point in time, it's kedai to be nice to people and just be a mensch, not just because it's the right thing to do, but even for your own sake. At some point in time, you'll probably need them. And how many times have we wound up in a situation where we were so, or I've been in a situation so many times where I'm so glad that I like tried to be a mensch when I knew this person, and so that when I wound up being the only other husband at a Shabbos Kala, or in some context, being nice to them at that moment previously allowed for a wonderful moment. And so, in laka adam she'en lo shah, at some point in time, this you're going to need this person. You're going to be connected to this person. So be thoughtful and be careful. But the Maharal takes it a step further. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says in Derech Chaim, his commentary on Pirkei Avos, v'sharad varam she'en ba'olam kulam yesh lo makam she'en musudarim min Hashem Yisbarach. When we say that everyone has a makom, everyone has a time, that everything has a makom, everyone has a time, this is all coming from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, from Hashem Yisroach. Kol echad al makomo. Everyone's got their place. God created everyone with a makom. V'al ha'adam shayach baz mipanai ki itzal ha'adam shayach kavod. Everyone needs a level of kavod. You can't just ignore, you can't be rude to people, because everyone needs kavod. V'lachach amar she'altihi ivazal kol adam linhog bo. And so you got to be thoughtful, you got to be careful, because everyone's got a place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put everyone into this world. And there's this quote from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov that goes around. If you ask Rabbi Nachman students, they'll tell you like they can't find it anywhere in any of the writings from him or his Talmidim. But still, I've even heard Breslovers say it, that the day you were born is the day that a Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that the world couldn't exist without you. And that's a beautiful message to share with someone on their birthday. But the fact that someone exists, the fact that you woke up this morning, when we say, Moda Ani Lefanecha, Rabba Emunasecha, that you got a lot of Emuna in me, that every person who exists in the world has a significance. A Kodesh Baruch Hu thinks they should be there. Everyone's got a mission, everyone's got a time and deserves your time, and everyone has a place. Everyone's put in this world. They take up space. We all take up space. We take up air. We take up resources because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that you're supposed to be here. And Rav Elchanan Wasserman, I think Rav Elchanan Wasserman, it's possible I'm getting this wrong, but I definitely heard the quote, and the quote I think is so powerful. says that if someone loses all of their kavod, they mamish have no kavod whatsoever, then they would literally die. Not like spiritually, not emotionally, they would literally die. Now, what does that mean? Just to elaborate a little bit, but this actually might even be one of those things that's better to just leave as is. Kavod is not, you know, you walk into the room, people stand up for you. Like, that's a lot of kavod. But kavod, you know, isn't even someone smiling at you per se. Kavod is like someone not bumping into you and someone not totally ignoring you. You're showing a level of kavod to somebody just by saying excuse me when you walk past them, by making eye contact. And so if someone mamish has no kavod, they would literally die. This Mishnah is telling us that everyone's got a makom, and if you don't have that connection to a makom, you don't have that connection to a level of respect, you can't go on, you can't sustain. And I think that this idea of makom actually exists in the thought of Rav Chaim of Volozhin. This I'm not an expert in. I believe the first chapter of Rabbi Dr. Zev Elef's book talks about this, and this is based off of what I heard from him in his discussion about his new book. His book just came out. Oh, I'm forgetting what it's called. All right, we know Rabbi Dr. Elef. We can find out. It's the book that just came out in 2020. And he said that Rav Chaim of Volozhin, he had a setup that in Volozhin, it wasn't like yeshivas we know today, where morning seder starts at 9 o'clock and ends at 12 or 1 o'clock, and then afternoon seder, night seder, and that you only learn like 6 masechtos, and you only learn things in Nashim and Ezekim, but you don't learn all of Shas, because like how could you possibly learn something that doesn't have all the mefarshim on it? Volozhin, they didn't operate like that. In Volozhin, they learned Kol HaTorah Kula. They started at Brachos and just learned every single page of Brachos, whether it was like intricate, complex halakha, whether it was a gada, they learned everything because there was no part of Torah that didn't belong, that shouldn't be there, shouldn't be learned. And so they learned everything. But that Torah needs to be learned, all of Torah needs to be learned. But not just that all Torah needs to be learned, but Torah needs to be learned at all times. And so in Volozhin, there was learning happening 24 hours a day. There were basically shifts of the yeshiva, and there was always someone learning, because the world can't sustain if people are not learning, and so there's always going to be someone learning, and that's where you get this idea of the Rosh Yeshiva hour, and so this happened, I think, for Rav Chaim of Volozhin, and they talk about it with the Netziv, that people were always learning in Volozhin, but there was one time that only the Rosh Yeshiva was learning, when, after Yom Kippur, everyone's breaking their fast, but someone's got to learn. If the whole yeshiva is breaking their fast, then there's no Torah happening. So then it's Siv, the Rosh Hashiva, I think Ravon Lichtenstein did this as well, that they would sit and learn for an hour, 2 hours, until the Bachrim started coming back to the Beis Medrash. Once, you know, they'd eaten their Suda. That you need to always have Torah happening. And so I think the context that Rabbi Dr. Elef brings this in is that it's not just about time, it's not just about person, it's not just about the Torah, it's about place as well. That if Torah needs to spread to every moment, every person, every part of Torah, it also needs to spread to every place. So if there's a place where the Jews are living, there needs to be a bastion of Torah happening. There needs to be Talmud Torah happening in the United States, because there were Jews during the life of Chaim of Volozhin, and he said there must be Torah there. If there are Jews there, there must be Torah. And so, Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of Torah here. Because every makom that exists needs to have Torah. Every makom is of significance. And so if every makom is of significance, every person needs to have Torah, every place needs to have Torah, everyone has their makom where they matter, where they value, where they are of value, then maybe we can try and understand what's going on with Eretz Yisrael. Because when we said that a person's makom is, because a person's makom is sort of where they belong, where they're supposed to be, and the Maharal talks about this a little bit more in Tiferet Yisrael. But we're not going to get to that yet. We're going to look at the Sfat Emes. And we said before that even though we wrote it out as Sfat Emet, I don't think that the Ger Rebbe ever called himself the Sfat Emet. He was a good European Jew, and he was definitely the Sfat Emes. So Sfat Emes in our parasha talks about this idea of Takiha Aretz Eshoshver, that the land will vomit out the Jewish people should they come to sin. And so he explains that, you know, why are they getting kicked out? Nir hatam ki b'nei Yisrael hayu mukhanim l'Eretz Yisrael, dechtiv amad avayim dod aretz. B'nei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael fit together. And then we probably heard ideas similar to this. Last time I was just going to point out something very special. But even so, it's always good to remember, particularly this week, in this week of Eretz Yisrael, our unique connection to that land. That in the bold, we're in source 7, Shekol Makom Yesh Lo Nefashos Miyuchadim, every place has its own spirit. Kamo Shekasuv Chein Makom Al Yoshvav. We know that people love the place that they're from. I think Rabbi Brand, beginning of last year, the first Shabbos I was in the Kollel, talked about how Chicagoans love Chicago. He explained in the context of Esther and what Chain really is all about. But people get a geschmack about where they're from. You know, comedians will be talking about, you know, I was in Chicago, I was in Cleveland, I was in this place and that place, and like people in the crowd will start cheering for some reason, as if like it matters where you're from in the context of this comedic act. But people get a geschmack from, oh, I'm from this place. That's part of the idea about sports teams. I'm from Chicago. Obviously, I'm a Bulls fan. Push it. And like, there's like a Yerusha. My father's from Chicago, so even though I grew up in LA, I'm still going to be a Chicago fan. A lot of Torah is behind this. Chein Makom Al Yoshva, that people are connected to their Makom. Maybe because the Makom is part of who we are. And so we appreciate it. Just like we view ourselves positively, for the most part. Even those who don't have such good self-esteem still appreciate something good about themselves. We appreciate the geschmack about our place. And continuing in the Sfas Emes, in line 3, I don't know why I'm pointing, you can't see where I'm pointing. V'hinei Eretz Yisrael hu makom kadosh davuk b'shor she'elyon. Eretz Yisrael is this holy place that's connected to something on high. V'eretz Yisrael, lisvol rak anashim ha'dveikim b'konam. And so Eretz Yisrael is this kind of place that can only handle... that can only be sovo, we'll say handle, can only handle some people who are connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, who are connected to mitzvos. Kamo shekasev, tivi ema v'sidema v'kule, kamo shenimsa b'gemara, ha'gadol mechavera yitzro gadol meno. If Eretz Yisrael is this holy place, this lofty place, then Eretz Yisrael is a place that is more sensitive, that has a weaker constitution towards sin. Just like, you know, holier people have a greater Yetzer Hara, a holier land has a weaker tendency, a weaker ability to handle, to bear through sin. Kamokan Yishbekomus, Kefi Rov, Hakadusha, Mesovev, Sham Kama Klipos, Vestaris, Yetzer Hara. You can have places that can have lots of sinning. There are very sin-friendly places in the world, but Eretz Yisrael is not one of them. Lachain, Al Yedei, Shahayamako, Mukhan, the B'nai Yisrael, Hayasham, Nistionos, Gedolos. So Eretz Yisrael is not an easy place to be because, and not an easy place to settle, not an easy place to set up, even to live in. You can talk to people today. Living in Israel is like a different kind of place. There are more challenges. It's not as easygoing as it is in Kutz Laretz, as it is in Chicago. V'lachein, zed gorim lahem shichato, v'kar ha'aretz osam ayadei shepashto yado b'mash enu shalahem. Because you're... by sinning, we're disconnecting to Eretz Yisrael. What we're really saying is, why v'stakiha aretz es yoshvav? What's the Sfas Emes getting at? Why is B'nai Yisrael going to get kicked out of Israel because we sinned? Not because we did something, sinned with the land, but because we sinned in some other way? Because Eretz Yisrael has this special constitution, but I think it's deeper than that. And if we're thinking about it in the context of place, if Eretz Yisrael is my place, if Eretz Yisrael is a place of kedusha, of mitzvos, and I'm not performing mitzvos, I'm not connected to who I am in the context of mitzvos, then there's a disconnect between me and my place. I'm not really in my own place. I'm not really in Eretz Yisrael the way that it's supposed to be, because I'm sinning. And if I'm not fulfilling the Torah, then I'm not really embodying what it means to be living in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael means that you are osek in Torah mitzvos. Just like living in Chicago means that you give directions in the context of street numbers and of north and south and east and west, even though most people don't walk around with compasses, that is how you give directions. You cannot be a Chicagoan if you think that directions are supposed to be done with lefts and rights. It's all with directions, preferably facing the lake. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, then you are only going to be connected to your makom. Your makom only exists within the context of Torah mitzvos. And so if you're disconnected from that, then v'takiya aretz, the land will vomit you out. It's a consequence. You're not connected to the land, so the land's not connected to you. And we see this at an even greater level, not just in Eretz Yisrael, but in Yerushalayim specifically. And it's more accentuated in Yerushalayim. as explained in the Mishnayos and Kalim, of the different levels of Kedusha, that Eretz Yisrael is the holiest land of all the lands, and explains there's a halakhic ramification of that. That's at the bottom of page 3, that, you know, you'll bring the Omer and the Bikurim and the Shteilakim, which you can't bring in other places. We don't have a mitzvah of Bikurim, we don't have a mitzvah of Omer in Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is holier, and skipping to the 8th Mishnah in the first parak, supposed to skipping the 7th one, and then inside the walls of Yerushalayim, lifnim min hakoma, meaning within the walls of Jerusalem, we say, you know, you can eat certain karbanos and ma'aser sheni, that, and the fact that you can eat these karbanos are indicative of the fact that it's holier and holier and holier, and it goes higher and higher and higher. We didn't hit all the levels there, higher and higher, but it. There's a greater and greater level of holiness that exists in Yerushalayim, and so maybe that's why there are no korbanos allowed outside the Makom HaMikdash, outside the Mizbeach, because even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists everywhere, the only place where we'll be able to physically interact with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, maybe I can daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever. I can learn Torah wherever. We're going to see a little bit later that you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has Dalat Amos Shehalacha, that in the context of someone observing Torah mitzvos, you can connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But where can I connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a physical manifestation, in a physical makom, where I set up a mizbeach, I set up an altar and offer a physical offering, and in that way, somehow I'm going to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is not tangible? That can only happen in a place that is super infused with Torah mitzvos, that is my fundamental makom of connection with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that when I go to the Beis Hamikdash, that's a physical activity that's resulting in a spiritual experience, and therefore, I can bring karbanos there, but I can't bring it anywhere else. Anywhere else, the halakha of Shchut Echutz comes up, and it's almost like I'm offering to someone else, to Avodah Zarah. The Barbanel says the reason behind Shchut Echutz, the reason why you're not allowed to offer karbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash, is that it's too reminiscent, it's too similar, it's too close to worshipping Avodah Zarah, and so it doesn't work. The only place where you can offer karbanos, which if we think about it, the way that the Rambam codifies it and a number of the Mefarshim explain, if you offer karbanos, which is prone to being very Avodah Zarah-like, which is how Ovdei Avodah Zarah worship their gods, whether through Molech or other of these karbanos, one is a physical offering to God, nothing that's intangible, nothing about the heart per se. The only place you can do that safely, the only place you can do that well and properly is in the Makom HaMikdash. If you're going to bring a physical offering to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's got to be in the Makom HaMikdash. And because that Makom is where I'm connected, that Makom is where I'm most attuned to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so that I think answers our question number 2, why we're not allowed to offer karbanos outside of the Beis Hamikdash. And now we allude to parts of this, but this Maharal is so beautiful. This is the first Maharal I found. I actually found it because of my friend and mentor, Rabbi David Beshefkin. He pointed this out to me. And this Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael is the one about Kabbalah Torah. It's the one that we're really learning now. Baruch Hashem, I'm learning Tiferes Yisrael now when I have a few moments. He says, "V'kol davar ba'olam yesh lo makom." In chapter 7, he says, everything in the world has its place, as we saw in Avos, in l'cha davar she'en lo makom. And then in the bold, ki'ilu hay ha'makom shayach la'adam, ad she'ha'makom niknas begeder shel kol davar. V'lachein tzarech liktov beget shim ha'makom. A makom is inherent to a person, which is why in a get, you write not just the person's name, but where the person's from, because that's part of the identifier of who he is. It's not just a logistical, is it Ari Zucker from here? Well, God forbid, not in the context of Gittin, but you know, is it Ari Zucker from here or Ari Zucker from there? There are numerous Ari Zuckers in the world. You know, if you have a name like Avi Katz, like there are a gazillion Avi Katzes. I have like 3 friends named Avi Schwartz. So which Avi Schwartz? Is the one from New Jersey? Is the one who teaches in Ari Crown, the one from Chicago? It's not just an identifier, but it's fundamental to who you are. If you are from Chicago, that's part of who you are. If you're from New Jersey, it's part of who you are. Your makom is part of who you are. The makom is part of who you are. And so, if a makom is part of who I am, then maybe that can help us appreciate and understand that the last miracle in our list, that no one ever said Sarli Hamakom Sha'olim B'Yerushalayim. I didn't have a place. I had nowhere to stay last night. It's not Baruch Hashem. There was an extra hotel room. I managed to get in the last minute. What it's saying is that no one ever turned to his friend with all the hustle and bustle, with all the excitement and all of Am Yisrael coming together at the base of Middash. No one ever turned to his friend and said, I don't feel like I belong here. I feel like this isn't my makom. I should be somewhere else right now. I don't feel connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I don't feel connected to Am Yisrael. I feel like my makom, my place is not here. No one ever said that. Everyone had a place where they could lawn, they could rest, where they could sit down. Everyone had a place in Yerushalayim. Maybe we're not saying it literally. Maybe we're maybe we're not even literally saying that everyone had a hotel room. What we're saying is that everyone felt like they belonged in Yerushalayim. The miracle that existed in Yerushalayim was that you could go and you could be the biggest Talmud Chacham, who knows Kol Torah Kula, who runs a Kachim Kol, so you understand all the different things that are going on in the Beis HaMikdash. Or you could be a Pashut farmer who just knows that you're supposed to show up at the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year. And you go, but no one ever turned to his friend and said, you know, the Chever, he is not so geschmack. You know, I thought, you know, the Beis HaMikdash, we would have a bunch of big Talmud Chacham. And no one ever said, you know, there are all these, like, you know, posh, fancy city folk. I'm just a simple farmer. I don't really know so much. Maybe I don't really belong here. Maybe I don't have a place. I don't have a makom here. The miracle that existed in the Beis HaMikdash was that everyone had a makom. Everyone felt like they belonged. When I first started in the Kollel, we had our 2-week, orientation is not really the right word, but our 2-week preparation before Kollel, Shirim, and learning started. And we had a chance to sit down with Rabbi Samber. And Rabbi Samber of Ari Crown told us that part of the goal in education is to create a path, create a derech, for the students to understand, you know, what does it mean to be Jewish? What does Yiddishkeit look like? And so he said, there's an issue in education, though, because so many people create a path that's it's too narrow. Sarli Hamakom is not I couldn't find somewhere to stay. It literally means the place was too narrow. Maybe someone went to the Beis HaMikdash and they felt like they belonged. They could be there, but only in a very small context. Only if you look this way, you talk this way, you act this way, you think this way. Only if you look just like this. Rabbi Samber said the goal in education is to paint a picture of Yiddishkeit and to make sure that every kid in the classroom sees him or herself in that picture. Sarli Hamakom, Rabbi Yehuda Meyer has pointed out to me, might mean that not just everyone felt like they had a place, but that they had a place where they could really be, where it wasn't too narrow, that they weren't confined, they weren't constricted. And so I think that helps us sort of appreciate and understand what this idea of Hamakom, it's still an exploration. It's not full, definitely not comprehensive. There's a lot more about Makom that we could discuss, but those were some of the thoughts that I had. We only have 7 minutes left. We're already with the adjusted time. You know, people have to go to work, but I'll just share one other thought. God willing, we'll all be in Eretz Yisrael. But for us who aren't in Eretz Yisrael, what do we do if we know that Eretz Yisrael is that ultimate Makom? Then where am I supposed to go? And it's particularly disturbing if you learn the Ramban in this parsha. We try not to talk about famous Rashi's, famous Gemara's, famous Ramban's. If somebody were well-versed in Ramban, then this would be one of the highlighted Ramban's. This would be one of the famous ones for those who know Ramban well. Because this Ramban in Yudchas Chafei is the Ramban that's really quoting the Sifri, but the Ramban that says that all the mitzvos that we perform outside of Israel are just practice. And that really the only time that we're obligated to do mitzvos, this is in the bottom of page 4, the only time we're obligated to do mitzvos is when we're in Israel. And so we're actually just kind of practicing outside of Israel. We're only putting on tefillin and putting up a mezuzah as a practice, but not because we necessarily need to be doing it. So the question on this Ramban is if you're flying from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, should you put your tefillin on again when you get to Eretz Yisrael? And I've seen people who get off the plane after watching them daven who will put their tefillin on because maybe there's a greater kiyum of tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. But if I'm just kind of practicing mitzvot, I'm not really connected. I'm not connected to my makom of Eretz Yisrael, then maybe like I'm at a loss. Like this is all just kind of like a waste. I'm just practicing. So I think I can make. I'd like to make a suggestion that there are two Gemaras that we're probably familiar with. One of the and if you're doing Daf Yomi, you've seen both of these since the new cycle. Gemara in Brachos on Chesam and Aleph tells us that Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash Ein Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu BaOlamo Ela Arba Amos Shel Halacha Bilvad. Hakadosh Baruch Hu now doesn't really have a makom. The only makom Hakadosh Baruch Hu has is the Dalat Amos Shel Halacha, people who keep halacha, people who follow halacha. And we also have this idea of a makom that exists, we create that exists on Shabbos. As Shabbos comes in, a makom is established, and I'm not allowed to carry from one place to another. The beginning of Masechta Shabbos is the Malacha of Hutzah, that you can't carry from here to there, that this place is okay, that place is not okay. But even in our larger context, outside of carrying, there's a tum, and I'm not allowed to travel 2,000 amos outside of my tum. I'm only allowed to be in a certain space. On Shabbos, a space is created, a makom is created. And so, if I think about this Ramban, along with these two Gemaras, maybe I can suggest that, well, yes, in Machayev Regalus Ela Bechovat Haguf, Ketfilin Mezuzos, the Chiyuv of Tefillin Mezuzos are not to the full extent that they exist in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe, if I'm not in Eretz Yisrael and I don't have that makom that's inherent, that it is inherent to Eretz Yisrael, that it would end up vomiting out an inhabitant that's not acting properly, maybe we can suggest that I can create a makom. I can create a place through tefillin and through mezuzah. That on Shabbos I make a makom, and maybe through our mitzvos we create a makom. By putting a mezuzah on my door, I make this makom into a makom that I can relate to, where I can be at home, where I can belong, where I can be connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And I think that we'll leave it there. The bottom, I have two sources that really I gave in a video for it. I highly encourage watching the video for it this week. I don't usually give the video for it in our Parsha Shirim, but this, I think, is the most beautiful Geshmak Torah, and that's so apropos to the time period and experience we're in of this corona quarantine. And so, in talking about makom, about establishing a makom, that we want to create a makom, but sometimes people get sick of being in one makom. It's very hard to be in one makom. And no one experienced that seemingly more than the Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol had his Lishkas Parhedrin. And the Gemara actually says that the Lishkas Parhedrin had a mezuzah on it, even though the Kohen Gadol was only there for 7 days. But if you look at the Rambam, you explore further, the Kohen Gadol spent most of his time in the Lishkas Parhedrin, the Lishkas Kohen Gadol, as the Rambam calls it. And even if he wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash, in his Lishka, he was only allowed to be in Yerushalayim. He never, ever left Yerushalayim. Ve'hi beiso b'Yerushalayim ve'enu zaz misham. He was never allowed to leave. So, Rav Shimshon Pinkus asks, and if anyone needs to run to work, we're going to run out of time for this last explanation, but it's just so beautiful, I couldn't pass it up. If the Kohen Gadol stuck in the Beis HaMikdash, we put him in Zuzah so it doesn't look like he's literally in prison. The Lashon of the Gemara is Shlonir Shikohen Gadol Chavush Beis HaAsurin, that he's in jail. The Kohen Gadol was in jail. He was not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. He was on house arrest, if you will. He spent most of his time in the Beis HaMikdash. The week leading up to Yom Kippur, he mamash was not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash. He slept in the Lishkas Parhedrin. He was not allowed to leave. So, I think a lot of people who are home these days might be thinking. And Rav Pinkus points out, how does the Kohen Gadol not go crazy? People who are stuck at home are going crazy. And the Kohen Gadol didn't have Zoom, and he didn't have online videos and things. He was alone. How does he not go nuts? That, explains Rav Pinkus, is based on a Gemara in Chagiga. And the Gemara in Chagiga on Yud Beis Amud Aleph says that when Adam HaRishon, when he was first created before his sin, span Misofa Olam V'yad Sofa. So what does it mean that he spanned Misofa Olam Ad Sofa? And the bottom is an elucidated translation, thanks to Safaria and the Steinsaltz Gemara, which really explains our Gemara. What does it mean that the Kohen Gadol spanned the entire world? Well, there are two options. Either he spanned the entire world east to west. You know, he was huge and he could almost wrap his arms all the way around the globe, and he covered the entire earth. There's another way to explain Misofa Olam Ad Sofa, that he spanned from one part of the earth to the other. not from one end to the other, but from the ground all the way to Shemayim, from the Aretz all the way up. And Adam HaRishon, you know, if you can imagine, was so tall, he could reach all the way up. And what's the significance to that, explains Rav Pinkus? We are all, to some extent, an element of Adam HaRishon within us. And we all have that desire to get back to being Adam HaRishon Kodem Lachet. We want to be perfect. What does that mean? Rav Pinkus explains in his Parish Torah, in Tiferes Torah, that some of us are going to try and be Adam HaRishon and span the world. We're going to visit Swiss Alps, and we're going to go here and there. We're going to visit India and Australia. We're going to travel as much as we can. If we can't travel, then we'll physically travel intellectually. We'll call people all over. We'll read articles about what's going on all over the world. We'll try and span the world as best to the best of our ability. From left to right, east, west, north, south, we'll see everything. We'll be everywhere. The Kohen Gadol couldn't do that. But what the Kohen Gadol was doing was trying to be like Adam HaRishon, Kodem Lachet, in a different way. His Misofa Olam V'Yad Sofa was from the Aretz all the way to Shemayim. The Kohen Gadol would be in one place, but he'd be traveling up towards Shemayim. He was focused on connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu, on getting as tall, as big as he could be. Whether we want to or don't want to, we're currently in a state where we're not able to travel east and west, where we're not going to be Adam HaRishon, Misofa Olam V'Yad Sofa, and see the Swiss Alps. But we can still be, still connect to that part of Adam HaRishon within us by trying to reach to Shemayim, by going from the Aretz all the way to Shemayim. And so when we talk about Makom, it's not just that we're creating a place, but that maybe the place that we're in is exactly where we're supposed to be, that I feel like I'm supposed to be here, and that I'm going to try and strive toward the place that I want to be, toward the ultimate Makom, toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who we also call HaMakom. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much for joining me this morning. I hope this has been interesting. The opportunity to explore this topic, I don't think it's a full picture, but it's there to some extent. And I appreciate you learning together with me this morning.
Very good.
And I hope you at least have a good Zvar Torah now to share at the Shabbos table with this final piece.